your life. I'm telling you, by the time I left the fair, I had seen enough of everything. We really are live.
Okay, ready?
We're live.
Good morning. Welcome to our August 7th meeting. Would you all please rise and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you read the changes to the agenda, please?
You have a couple of changes to today's agenda. Item D1, update on the Los Osos Wastewater Treatment Project, a request to appoint David Dubink to the Los Osos Water Project Technical Advisory Committee, and B, consider a status of the coastal development permit for the Los Osos Wastewater Project. Staff is requesting this item be amended to add two letters regarding the status of the coastal development permit for the Los Osos Wastewater Project, one from the Regional Water Board and one from the California Coastal Commission. The letters are attached for your review. These were also posted on the Internet last week, so for the public to be able to see. The second change is to item B4, request to approve the recommended responses to the findings and recommendations contained in the grand jury report on the juvenile hall, juvenile services. Staff is requesting this item be amended by replacing page 3 to correct a typographical error. The amended page is attached for your approval. Those are your two changes for today.
Thank you. And I do want to make one announcement, only because I think there was some misinformation, and I also heard it on the radio yesterday, that the Fort Hope hearing is going to be at 3:30 this afternoon. There were two calls I got yesterday where people thought it was going to be in the morning. So if you're here for Fort Hope, you're way early. I hope we're at 3:30, but it's going to be after that. So for those that are listening and watching, if you're trying to rush down here, the Fort Hope hearing always has been at 3:30, but there was some miscommunication or some people were led to believe that it was this morning. So I wanted to make that announcement. Our presentation this morning, we have community awareness, fostering youth transitioning to self-sufficient adults. This is not a resolution and no action item, therefore we don't need any motion this morning. And so we have, I think, representatives here from our foster youth transition. Who's going to step forward and do that? For all of you, all four of you? Wonderful. And please state your name for the record.
Julia Pavelka.
And you just have to speak up a little bit so Mr. Cuddy in the back can hear you. He's my monitor. When he puts his ear up like that, I know you're not speaking loud enough.
Okay. Where's the mic I should lean into?
The microphone's right there in the corner. Don't touch it. Just talk to him.
Okay. So, as I said before, I'm Julia, and I'm 16 years old, and I've had 4 years in foster care. In the 4 years I've been in care, I've been in 8 homes. I'm the chair of Speakers Bureau, which is a branch of CYC, the California Youth Connection. And CYC is an advocacy consisting of out-of-home youth working together for policy changes locally and statewide to improve the foster care system. Every year, CYC chooses an issue to address in the county. This year, our issue is increasing awareness of foster youth rights. The California Youth Connection has become known and respected in the Capitol and meets with all 120 legislative offices each year. And it's known as an event, or it's an event known as the Day at the Capitol. Every year, they hold an empowerment event, and that's the Day at the Capitol Conference. At the conference, youth are trained on the legislative process and have the opportunity to meet with members of the legislature to discuss their ideas for improving the foster care system. On one day, the California Youth Connections youth meet with legislators to ask for legislators' support of CYC's bills and ideas. Also, a rally is held on the steps of the Capitol where chapters make posters publicizing California Youth Connections legislative issues and their goal of improving foster care.
My name is Julia H., and I'm 16 years old. I've been in foster care for about 5 years now, and I am the co-chair of our Speakers Bureau, and I am the chair of our California Youth Connections. We've been working on our local issue, which has, as Julia P. mentioned, is awareness. On On April 13th, we met with Superintendent of Education Jack O'Connell, and we discussed with him we raised some of the awareness of our civility in education. We talked with him about the education liaisons and how they were not getting our school records to our schools in time. Whenever foster youth move out of their area, often they go to different schools, and they don't have the time period, which is 2 business days, to get their records to the new school. He informed us that in 2009, all of our records will be on the computer, and all you'll have to do is type in the student's name and their ID number. On July 12th, we met with San Luis Obispo Child Abuse Prevention, and we talked with them about permanency and the stability in education as well as homes. On July 26th, we met with CASA, and we talked with them about what it's like to be in foster care and how you can reach out to the youth and help them achieve their goals. We met with the Boys and Girls Club and talked with them about also permanency and stability. These are the goals that we have so far met. In the future, we intend to attend all staff meetings and help train the next social workers and other people that work with our youth.
Hi, my name is Ashley Knowles, and I'm the membership coordinator for Speakers Bureau, and I am the co-chair for California Youth Connection, and I've been in foster care for 10 years. So I would like to inform you of the upcoming speaking events in CYSB Speakers Bureau, as well as our local issue goal for this year. Our Speakers Bureau members will be attending the Department of Social Services regional training in Templeton this Thursday, and another regional training on August 21st. These trainings are made up of social workers, their supervisors, and other employees that have contact with youth. During these trainings, we tell our personal experiences in foster care to these individuals in hopes of helping them understand a foster youth perspective. We hope to improve the relationships between social workers and their clients by giving suggestions, having an honest, open discussion on how to help foster youth succeed and not become another negative statistic. We have a great response in the past and hope to continue working with the Department of Social Service staff. As for California Youth Connection, we have been working on a local issue since June of this year. This year, our local issue is to raise awareness and educate those directly and indirectly involved in the foster care system of youth rights. We are working on ways to educate group homes, licensing agencies, social workers, probation officers, and CASA workers of foster youth rights. Our big goal for the end of the school year is to have a big event and get as many foster youth together and give a presentation on youth rights. Our chapter feels that this issue is a very important step to improve the foster care system in San Luis Obispo County. We hope that with this presentation for the youth, we will be able to encourage youth participation in California Youth Connection. And also, by educating the other groups, we will build a solid foundation of support in the lives of the youth and the next generation of foster care. And thank you for the time to listen to us.
Thank you for sharing those stories. Foster care, I think, is one of those things, unless you have either experienced it firsthand or known someone that's gone through the program, is very difficult to understand from looking at a budget or reading a program. And I really appreciate you folks coming down here and telling your stories. Supervisor Patterson, were you going to push your button here for a comment?
Thank you.
Or were you just moving your coffee cup?
Get my water out of the way. I, too, wanted to thank the young ladies for coming down and sharing your experiences with us. Certainly foster care is an important component of caring for youth in the county, and we're glad that you're participating and sharing those experiences and letting the community know that you're out there, and I wish you well.
I would only add, Mr. Chairman, if I might, I'm really impressed by the poise of these three young ladies, and was particularly struck by their inclination to help train the next round of social workers. If I heard you correctly, I think that's a wonderful sense of of empowerment and outreach. So welcome and thank you for being here.
I too want to thank you for taking time to come to us and sharing with us your stories. Wish you the very best.
Thank you. The only thing I can add is please come back and see us again soon, next year. Supervisor Robert?
I don't know what else you can add. I probably the thing that was going through my mind as they were making the presentation is that I think that our foster care program has done excellent, and I'm also proud of the fact that we do a lot for family reunification and family connections and those kind of things. There are other programs that go with foster care, and all three of them I think work together as a unit that says we care that people aren't just left out there and we want to provide and help them.
Thank you. We'll move on to public comment. Received three requests to speak. The first is June Rodriguez, followed by Eric Greening.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a loud voice, and I'm going to make it loud. I never heard one thing those girls said except the fact that one was 16 and one was 15. I think it's because they were talking to you gentlemen rather than to the back of me. And can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have come to the impression I'm getting hard of hearing. I'm here to tell the Board of Supervisors I think you're one of the finest supervisors, set of supervisors we've ever had. Mr. Gibson, I introduced myself to you in Cambria on Polenta Day.
Yes.
In Palm Sunday.
Polenta dinner.
And
yes.
You looked startled when I introduced you, and I think you thought I was a constituent and I was going to ask you for something, but I have no complaints. I'm happy, old lady. My name is June Rodriguez. Did I say it?
Yes.
Okay. And I was born in San Luis Obispo. I've lived here all my life. Higuera Street was my playground. I'd go uptown on my tricycle. The stores would call my mother and say, Mrs. Hearn, June left her tricycle up in front of the store. We've put it in the store. Whenever she's ready to collect it again, you'll know where it is. So town life was simple and everything was great when I was a kid. Mr. Akajian, you know, I don't know if I said your name right or not, but my daughter wrote you a letter the other day about a problem that was on East Tiff Street, and you responded within 2 days, which impressed her greatly, and she's real happy about her response. Have the streets been painted? It says keep clear and all this and that. Everything's great. Mr. Patterson, you're my supervisor. I don't know what a supervisor does for people that live in the city, but I listen to your Board of Supervisors every single day, and it's great because I can turn up the tune, and I hear you clearly. Mr. Ovid, I knew you when I was on the grand jury. I used to see you walking down the hall, and you never spoke to me, and I couldn't understand why people didn't speak to me. Everybody knew me. And I'd been a retired county employee, and I'd think, well, why doesn't he speak to me? He doesn't know who I am, or he's heard about me, and he hates me. I really had a reputation. They loved me or didn't like me, you know. But anyway, I worked for the planning department at one time. The hardest thing that ever happened down there was they had just recently changed the requirement for 10 acres for mobile home parks. And when people came to town ready to set up a mobile home, and they found out they had to have 10 acres, I felt I was on the wrong side of the counter. I've had a happy 25 years retirement from the county, and I appreciate all you gentlemen are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez. And before you step down, I want to thank you for not telling stories about me.
Oh, I did. I wanted to tell you something.
Supervisor Assagen has a question.
I wanted to say one more thing. You have the best parliamentary procedure I've heard on any board member.
Thank you. Supervisor Assagen has a question.
You really conduct a board good, and you ought to stay in that seat. That's about the best thing you do. It's really good. Okay?
Supervisor Assagen has a question.
Ms. Rodriguez,
Supervisor Assagen had a question for you.
And not a question, just a comment. You paid me credit, but I would like to extend that credit to the great men and women we have working in the public works who
yes,
make us all look good.
Yes, Community Services District and everything did fine.
Thank you.
Now that, Mr. Greening, is going to be a tough act to follow. But Eric Greening, followed by Julie Rodewald.
I am Eric Greening, and I appreciate you all being here as well. Having been at the Santa Margarita Community Potluck last night, I can report a major topic of conversation there is the endless parade of trucks from a local sand and gravel operation all night, every night. According to a so-called neighborhood notice, we're in the midst of a three-week operation. I can vouch for the volume of trucks as eight of them went by during the few minutes I was waiting for the last Route 9 bus. I also know that one morning in Garden Farms, I saw from the bus a train stopped across the crossing these trucks use, and over 30, I lost count, trucks parked along El Camino waiting for their chance. I know Jim will be happy to work with anyone from the community and try to resolve these issues, but there are some that need your whole board's attention. First, monitoring. There's supposedly a monitor in place 100% of the first 10 nights and at least 50% of the time thereafter. Whoever this is invisible to the community. The role of such a person could be enhanced by requiring the person to introduce him or herself to the community at a noticed gathering prior to a planned operation and to explain the complaint process and how to access past and ongoing monitoring records. The biggest issue is CEQA compliance. No one in the community is sure what development project is requiring this sacrifice of their tranquility, although there are rumors. The community deserves to know because we should be able to refer to the environmental determination for that project and find described as a project impact the aggregates required, the source of the aggregates, the impacts of removal, and the impacts of transportation from source to site. This is a chronic missing ingredient in many EIRs. I remember the community's surprise that the Cuesta Grade project required the quarry to exceed its annual limit and the tremendous impact that caused. This surprise was not anticipated on the EIR on this project. When this sort of thing happens, CEQA is being violated. We should not allow any community to be routinely sacrificed for the benefit of projects elsewhere. If a significant impact is imposed on a community, the record must show it has been foreseen and either mitigated or specifically overridden. Please agendize a review of our county's CEQA guidelines so we can make this expectation explicit. The source of material used in a project is part of the project, and the impacts relating to that source are project impacts. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Julie Rodewald, followed by David Dugan.
Thank you, members of the board. Julie Rodewald, County Clerk Recorder. I just wanted to come in today and give you a brief update on the Secretary of State's top-to-bottom review and her issuance of a conditional approval of voting systems for continued use in California. The three voting systems have been going through about an eight-week review process, and one of those includes Diebold, which is the optical scan system used in San Luis Obispo County. The Secretary or the reviewers released a report about a week ago. The Secretary of State issued on Friday night at, we think it was about 11:49, 11 minutes before the 12 o'clock deadline that she had, basically a decertification of all the systems and then a conditional reapproval for their use as long as the list of conditions are met. And there's about 40 different conditions. In San Luis County, like I said, we use the optical scan system. The major impact to our public and our candidates in the media is that we can no longer send the final election night results via telephone modem. Those have to be brought into our office where they'll be manually uploaded into the server. That'll mean a delay in our results probably to 11:30. We're hoping it doesn't return to the old 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning results. But for those of you who live through election nights where the cry would go out that all of the ballots are in from Paso Robles, so we should have final results within about an hour and a half, it'll return some of that drama to election night, which has been non-existent in our past elections. Most of the other security conditions that she's imposed are already in place in San Luis Obispo. We'll be working with our vendors and our other counties to implement. We have several plans that we have to develop and implement within the next 30 to 60 days. And the other significant change will be in the post-election audit procedure. Right now, we manually tally at least 1% of the precincts for every countywide and then at least one precinct in every contest. That's going to have a different system applied to it that we don't quite know what it is yet. It'll be developed, but it will allow contests that are very close, either by a vote total or by a percentage, require that we manually audit more precincts in those close races to give even a greater level of confidence to ourselves and our voters. I do want to assure all of our voters and you that all the security concerns obviously are of a great concern to my staff, and that no elections have been compromised by the use of the optical scan system. We have some of the tightest standards in the country, and the conditions that are imposed will only further tighten and strengthen the standards that we have in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rodewald, Supervisor Ovett, and Patterson also have a
Julia,
question for you.
I was under the understanding, too, that there's some federal legislation or discussion about changing the voting process, and it could affect our use of the optical scan issue.
Yeah, there's H.R. 811, which is the Holt bill, has taken several iterations, and I have to admit that I haven't read the most recent iteration, although there is great concern that if it is approved, that it would essentially make us replace all voting systems that are in use in the United States by 2010, which I have to tell you is, with three elections staring at us in 2008 and a certification process that takes at least a year and a half from start to finish, it would be very difficult. Since we've got the Secretary of State directive behind us a little bit, or at least we know what it is, we'll be focusing our attention on getting out the word that let's take this thing slow. We don't want to make any rash decisions.
Supervisor Patterson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to take this opportunity while Julie was here to just point out to the community that a week and a half ago I was at the Clark Center in Arroyo Grande attending a program by the County Community Foundation. It was the Accessibility Advocacy Awards, and the program is Access for All, and it's really geared towards people with all disabilities. And Julie and some of her staff were there with the voting machine that the county has in place at all the consolidated precincts for people with vision and hearing impairments. And Julie and her election staff was actually nominated for one of the awards. And I wanted to thank her because they were there on a Saturday demonstrating how this machine works. In fact, I voted using the machine. It was quite interesting. And I appreciate you and your efforts to make voting really a pleasure and an opportunity for vision and hearing impaired individuals in the county. So, thank you
very much.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks. Last speaker during public comment, David Dugan.
David Dugan, Los Osos. I want to start out to say that water is the product, wastewater is the byproduct. So we have a situation in the Central Coast where in Los Osos, we're in a severity 3 level due to the fact that we have overdraft in our lower aquifer, the water that we're using in Los Osos, and we have seawater intrusion. We have a situation in Morro Bay where they're going to fully tertiary treated water, and they're dumping it into the ocean. Now, ethically, that's terribly wrong, considering the fact that there is a water shortage, and California is suffering from somewhat of a drought. And all the powers that be are bringing to bear the fact that we should reuse all the water we can. My problem is that are we going to allow this water to continually be dumped into the ocean, fully treated, and not somehow use this water? Store this water, treat this water in such a way we can use it. I've been bringing this issue up over and over again involving Los Osos. And I have looked at water code, and I believe in water code to allow this water to be dumped into the ocean and not have somebody, some agency, look at the fact that it could be reused is a violation of the water code. reuse elements for all wastewater projects have to be put into those projects. I think Morro Bay is getting away with not having to. I don't think they want to throw that good water away. It is good water. It's reusable. And after looking at water code, reusable water should be retained somewhere. AB 2701, not to get into the wrong subject, had parts of it in there about reservoiring water, and that would allow the county to do so, but that was taken out of 2701. And I don't know whether or not that would have made a difference for us, but I would support any legislation that would allow the county to find a way to take that over 2 million gallons a day water that's being dumped into the ocean and reuse somewhere within that region of Morro Bay and Los Osos. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. That was my last request to speak. We'll close public comment. Move on to consent agenda item. We have one item that Supervisor Gibson is going to make a statement on, but before we do that, what I'd like to do is see if we can take and have all the other consent agenda items approved. So that's the process I'd like to use. We'll open the public for that and move forward that way. That's your agreement, unless you want to make your announcement now or...
Well, I think it's clear on item B28. I'm going to have to step down because I own a ranch in the middle of the area affected by that proposed ordinance. And the question was whether one or more of my colleagues might be pulling that item. So
I was going to make
a
recommendation pull
the item. Right, and act separately.
Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll start with public comment. And first request to speak will go, as they were received, Eric Greening. I lost you, Eric. I thought you were sitting over there.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, is this comment on consent other than B28?
Yes, sir.
Mine is 25 and 27.
Okay,
so
just to be, I just wanted to be sure that I...
Mr. Chairman, perhaps we could separate the items for public comment. We could have public comment on every item except B28 and then have the comment on B28 or do it vice versa, but that will make it much easier for Mr. Gibson to step down.
My intent was we only received one request to speak on any item other than B28, okay. So I was going to get that one out of the way if I could.
Okay. We got
it. That passes County Council's muster. Mr. Greening,
yes,
you're up.
I'm Eric Greening, addressing a full board on B25 and B27. On B25, contracting for independent review of geological reports, my question is whether this contract is in lieu of or in addition to filling the position of county geologist. B27 is the contract with Rincon for the revised draft EIR on the Santa Margarita Ranch. There will be several areas of concentration, one of which will be water, which I'm glad to see. Your board has seen extensive comments